Lights. Camera. Action. Now, where's the mullet? Where is he? Is he coming in by chopper again?
And now, live from Quinlan's Cantina in the Gold Coast of Australia, it's time again for your dose of action cinema history from the 80s, 90s, and beyond with the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Oh, g'day, man. There you go.
Hey there, folks. This is Adam O'Brien, the Lethal Mullet, and welcome to episode number 178. We're recording for the podcast tonight, a look at Equilibrium. A film that's very much close to what you would say, without a doubt, is pretty much a low-budget version of The Matrix in some ways. Starring Christian Bale, I actually think in some ways it's superior. And we're going to be chatting about that one tonight and a few others and much, much more. Well, without further ado, folks, we're going to chat about also some up-and-coming films, which we're going to be covering here on the podcast, and a lot more. Hey, how you doing? This is The Mullet here at Quinlan's Canteen on the Gold Coast of Australia, ready to chat about, of course, a film that's a little bit hard to find around the place on hard surfaces these days, thanks to, of course, all the streaming that's going on now. Equilibrium, yes, this little bad boy right here. Starring, of course, Christian Bale, Taye Diggs, and, of course, Emily Watson, and short appearance by Dominic Purcell and, of course, Sean Bean. That's right. Sean Bean's in this one as well. The film came out right about the time that I was in graphic college here in Australia. It came out in 2003 here. I do believe it was 2002 elsewhere. But other than that, it's pretty much there, really rock and roll. Well, we're ready here to record, of course, live. And we're going to have the comments section open too for those that want to chat about, of course, Equilibrium and what it meant to them. Of course, it's known for the martial art, and, of course, which is Gun Kata, which is an interesting, you know, concept, this idea that you can use a gun like a weapon in Kabuto or Kung Fu or any style of martial art where it's an extension of your body. And that's pretty much what martial arts are, isn't it? You know, that's what it comes down to when it comes to the ideas of how martial arts works, as an extension of not only your body and your mind, all that together. And it's an interesting concept because it's a kata-based one. For those that do karate and many other martial arts, of course, kata is very important because we learn not only predetermined movements in a set pattern. To some, it might look like a dance. Others, they won't realize exactly where it's coming from. Of course, kata is very important because in kata, of course, we have what we call bunkai. And the bunkai are basically how those moves are reacted towards, whether it's a strike, a kick, a throw, a takedown, whatever it is. And it's all predetermined. And it's very much the concept of course, gun kata, which we'll get into very, very soon. So before we get into the episode, of course, welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network. This is one of the many shows on it, of course, the Lethal Mullet Podcast, our flagship show. And you can catch it if you see the little ticker down here, of course, at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com. There we are. And, of course, on all socials that we've got on the Lethal Mullet or at the Lethal Mullet. And you'll find this mug right here, this one with a mullet. along with that, too, of course, we have a few shows that we do that are non-action movie. So we're looking at things like, of course, Matrix, a Star Trek fan podcast, which we've just done an episode of. We had a few glitches with that one. The video is not up for that right now, but that will be audio version of that out in about a week's time, of course. And Mark will be back in the next couple of weeks for another episode of that. But also, we also have, of course, the great Mullen Kilt, which Mark also does a guest star on. And, of course, that's with Darth Elvis. And he's, of course, a Fanta tracker like myself, and, of course, Mark is. And on Mullet and Kilt, we cover all the great music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s when it comes to soundtracks and, of course, just music in general. Next episode is going to be in about a week's time when we're looking at the Seattle band Soundgarden, one of the greats, of course, one of the greatest lead singers. And without a doubt, folks, one of the greatest bands, Kim Thayil, Matt Cameron, and Ben Shepherd. Fantastic. Of course, sad to say that, you know, of course, Chris passed away a few years ago now, but still sorely missed, and his music is still to this day watched and listened to, and, of course, we miss his great work. So we're going to be celebrating that band. Another one that's been brought up actually by Greg himself was Alice in Chains, one of the great bands of the 90s, folks. very much the most metal. If you like your metal in particular, they're the most metal of all the bands, right? That was out at the time. You know, you got bands like, of course, Mudhoney, Mother Love Bone, Nirvana, all coming out at the same time. Melvins, another one of the first bands to use drop D proper. You know, great tuning, folks, and quite an easy one to do with too. One finger bar chords up and down the old E string, down to D in that one. Of course, great. But of course, all these bands at the time were all coming out, and it's a hot thing of being in those, you know, circles. It's just amazing. And of course, that was one of the many bands that got a little bit heavier. You got the great Lane Staley on vocals. You've got also great bass in that one as well. But also the great one in that one is Jerry Cantrell, who was always doing tandem vocaling with, of course, Lane, but also the fantastic Jerry Cantrell guitar, which is probably one of my faves. It's great to learn. If you're a guitarist like me, I've been playing for about 35 years, thoroughly enjoy that stuff too, folks. So stay tuned for that one. We'll talk about it on that podcast.
G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis. And where you can also find the Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. There's, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast.
Without further ado, we're going to get into a bit of a news section here, folks. I've got a few hard media to show you, which we're going to get into. This is a preview pretty much of what we're going to be covering over the next month or so. We're going to really try and knock out at least two episodes a week of Lethal. And a lot of these episodes are going to be geared towards showing you films you either haven't seen or ones you will need to see because we're telling you they're freaking awesome. Okay, so one of the first ones here is one that came out a few years ago, which is, of course, 12 Rounds, directed by Rennie Harlan. And 12 Rounds is, of course, all about basically John Cena playing a police officer who apprehends, I think his name in Game of Thrones, Littlefinger. Aidan Gillen, is it? I think his name is, if I remember right. Oh, look, I've wanted to even find the Aidan Gillen. There you go, folks. but, of course, 12 Rounds works in such a way he gets captured, and then a year later he comes out to wreak havoc and, of course, play games against John Cena in the same way that Die Hard with a Vengeance did. So in some ways, Rennie Harlan's come back to do the Die Hard sequel he never got a chance to do, which is, of course, the third Die Hard movie, Die Hard with a Vengeance, with, of course, Simon Says. Well, they're pretty much doing the same in this, except Bruce Willis doesn't have quite the muscles that John Cena does. It's a clever film, one of my favourites. I'm not a huge fan of Cena, mainly due to not seeing a lot of his material, but I've got to tell you, that film is a clever film, and he excels in it, folks. So if you haven't seen it, see it. Another one we're going to talk about is a bit of a history lesson on this one. Bat 21, starring Gene Hackman and, of course, Danny Glover. This film is a fantastic film. It's an interesting story alone, let alone the movie itself. It's about a guy by the name of Icil Hambleton, which Gene Hackman plays. And in the film, it tells of his story in Vietnam, where he basically gets shot down by enemy fire on a survey mission, basically. Lands in enemy territory, and he's by himself. He's the only survivor of this recon plane. Goes down, and when he's down there, he has to get away from the Viet Cong where he is to a certain plantation area or river where he can get to safety, to his men, to his base, and get on home. And what's interesting is the way he designs to get out of it, here's a bit of a spoiler, but really at the end of the day, you need to look this guy up on YouTube because the story alone is even better than the movie. He uses via the radio, talking to Bird Dog, which Danny Glover plays, call sign of as he's on the plane around, basically keeping this guy safe or at least giving him an idea of how to get out of enemy territory. But he uses basically a code. The code is using the golf course maps or the ways that you play these golf courses in the Air Force's bases that he's been in. So he radios this in and uses that, basically the holes, the 9 holes of golf or the 18 holes, whatever it is, and uses specific holes to get his way and plot his way up. It's ingenious, and the enemy had no idea what he was talking about, hence why, of course, he got home safe. Interesting story, folks, and it's got some great actors in it, and without a doubt, one of the finest performances, not only from Gene Hackman, but from Danny Glover, actually. I think it really stands out as, a great performance. But YouTube ICL Hambleton, folks, and check out the real story. Another one, action hit, of course, is this one here, Olivia Gruner's Angel Town. If you haven't seen Angel Town, folks, you owe it to yourself. Go and get it on Tubi or Amazon Prime. Watch the digital, and then once you've done it, get this bad boy. This is basically a Blu-ray that came out. I'm trying to find what company. MVD Rewind Collection it is. It's great. It's got audio commentary by the producer, writer / creatives on it. It was a great story alone. Again, Olivier Grenier is the real deal, folks. He's not a point fighter like Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's somebody that's been a kickboxing champion. He's also been in the military. I do believe Special Forces in France. And, of course, now he's still fairly active. You know, he's still out there doing stuff. Of course, still doing film as well. But I find that he has a really likable charisma. He had this even in Nemesis, which, of course, directed by Albert Pyun. And that's one of my favorites, folks. It's got a lot of action, a lot of character, and, of course, great actors in it too, folks. All from, of course, Albert Pyun movies. They keep coming back, I tell you. But anyway, this one is a must, and we're definitely doing an episode on this one soon. There's ties to Wrong Bet in this, the Van Damme film. So we'll talk about that when we get to it, folks. Another one, Kevin Reitzel, had been talking about for a little while to find a copy of, and I did finally. I don't know if this one's available in the States, so it'd have to be. Well, honestly, this is one that I got from the UK. You can tell by the classification rating on it. It's a UK one from what I remember. This is, of course, Avenging Force, starring, of course, Michael Dudikoff. Now, this is a good one, folks. Now, I'll just chuck these others away for a sec because we're going to have to show you what you get in this one. Avenging Force is fantastic. First of all, you get the slipcase, which is this beautiful art, of course, on there. Now, from the creators of course, American Ninja, and from the stars of American Ninja, and from the director, Sam Furstenberg, of American Ninja. Now, not only do you get this same art on the inside there too, you get the reversible jacket has the original theatrical art, this might have been on the VHS. I never saw the VHS, folks, so I can't remember exactly. This is absolutely gorgeous. And then, of course, you get some lobby cards in it too, which is great. So huge congrats to the people behind this in particular, getting these ones out. Again, MGM, you do a fantastic job. I've got a hands out to MGM. If you're out there today, what you're doing on the streaming channel is fantastic. So this is attached to Amazon Prime, folks. You actually get an MGM channel, which really it's great because you get to see a lot of the older films, which are just not made anymore when it comes to the hard media or harder to find out here for us in Australia. And we're catching up. Not only is the some great Chuck Norris films. All the Canon films are on it, and it's really an interesting one to go through. I've absolutely enjoyed just having a chance to go through some of these older films and recapture what we'd lost, you know, because basically they used to be in the supermarkets. You go to the front of the supermarket, all you see is a massive aisle of just Canon films, MGM, Westerns, and, you know, I used to love just go and pick it up one on the way home from work and watch an old Western. Never seen, they had everything from John Wayne to Charlie Bronson. A lot of Charlie Bronson ones there too. And I do believe that's where I saw Lone Wolf McQuade, which I haven't seen since VHS. Yeah, that's a great one too. But as asked, we will definitely be looking at Avenging Force, hopefully to get Kevin and Kyle on this one too. For those out you that don't know who Kevin and Kyle are, the Lethal Mullet Network is also part of the Fandom Podcast Network, or FPN as it's known. And, of course, it's co-created by, of course, Kyle Wagner and, of course, Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. That's how we say it, folks, I tell you. And he'll be out here in Australia, hopefully towards the end of the year, and we'll do some live video and podcasting out here. That's right. Or down here, I should say, because it's down under, isn't it?
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. Here are the other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. Culture Clash, where we discuss the latest in entertainment and pop culture. Blood of Kings, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theater, we celebrate our favorite movies. And Time Warp, our fandom flashback show discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie, TV, and pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Hair Metal Podcast, we cover the rock metal music of the 80s and early 90s. Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, discussing the time-traveling Doctor Who universe. Lethal Mullet, an action film podcast, covering the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Also, check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, our Star Wars podcast. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, with a deep dive into the final frontier. The Fandom Show, our Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube show discussing the hottest topics in fandom. The True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic and Television Universe. Union Federation, our Star Trek and the Orville show. And we're proud to welcome the BQN Network to the Fandom Podcast Network. Please visit our friends on the BQN Network, a Star Trek Universe podcast that also includes your favorite topics, movies, history, superheroes, and more. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on YouTube. The Fandom Podcast Network is also on all major podcast platforms. Fandom Podcast Network audio master feed is on Podbean at fpnet.podbean.com. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So lots coming in that regard. Yeah, the other one, if I can keep my headphones on here, folks, I tell you. The other one we're going to do, of course, is Zoo Warriors, which is this bad boy here, which I've only just got in the last week. Now, there's numerous DVD versions that I've seen around the place, mainly ones. There was a Hong Kong issue that I saw, which was really beautiful, clean cut, and the video was fantastic. But the other one is, of course, this one that's come out here, and it is by the company itself is Eureka, and, of course, Fortune Star, obviously part of this too. Zoo Warriors from the Magic Mountain is one of the influences for Big Trouble in Little China. Now, I know a lot of our listeners here tonight will say that, of course, this is one of those great films when it comes to John Carpenter's, of course, Big Trouble in Little China. When it comes to mixing a bit of comedy, action, and, of course, you know, just some good old fun when it came to, of course, the characters and stuff like that. And they were fantastic characters. And you get that in this too. This is great. And you get Sammo Hung and Yuen Biu in this, which are two of my favorite performers from, of course, Hong Kong action cinema. It is a fantastical tale. There's some great fights in it. It's very acrobatic. But it's also the sort of fantasy. You can see how John Carpenter sort of got enthused and really wanted to do something along those lines. And it delivers, folks. That's all that matters. At the end of the day, it's fun and it delivers. And I think that's one of the keys to a lot of these films these days is getting that, sense. You know, we really like that sort of stuff.
Hi, this is Tom Caldwell from Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network, inviting you to check out our show. Once a month, we release an episode about the films of the great master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. You can find us on Facebook at Hitchcock Good Evening, on Twitter at Good Evening Pod, and along with myself and Brandon Shea Mutala and Chris Haig, we bring you a fun and friendly show that you can enjoy alongside your viewing of the films of Alfred Hitchcock. On behalf of the program, I wish you good evening.
Please hang up and try again.
Now it's time for the Lethal Mullet Cafe as we chill back, relax, and look at the trivia. All the detail, the nitty-gritty of the films we are celebrating.
All right, so, as promised, tonight, of course, we're going to be main article talking about Equilibrium. So what's it about? Equilibrium is in an undisclosed future Earth. You know, it could be 100 years, could be 50. As far as I know, it's a little bit forward. And World War III's happened, and basically it's destroyed civilization as we know it. So it has a post-apocalyptic feel to it. There certainly is some scenes in the film itself which evoke that, you know, post-apocalyptic sort of vibe and feel. And of course, with what Kurt Wim has done, we actually get to see this at the start. He actually goes through a selection of footage, a little bit like it's done in Mad Max 2, where we get to see how the wasteland happened, how the world has moved on. In this case, it has. And of course, we've got Libya, which is this city where everyone's living now. And the safe way that they're doing this is by, of course, banning emotion. No one's allowed to emote. No one's allowed to give that, you know, tender love and feeling anymore. You can't show any. And, of course, people are actually drugged in terms to keep those sorts of emotions at bay. And, of course, this is something that is definitely a theme of the film. How do you subvert that and get through and, of course, you know, live a human existence? Because in that case, they're not really living, are they? Enter, of course, Christian Bale playing John Preston. He's one of the police force, or in this case, a Grammaton cleric. A Grammaton cleric is basically like a high-up Jedi-like, monk-like figure who is a master of what we call gun kata, which we're going to get into soon. Basically, imagine Tai Chi with guns. It's one of the easiest ways to put it. It is a form or kata-like movement of prearranged scientific ideals of where you're most likely not to get shot, but also most likely strategically and statistically to be able to hit your target using pistols. And so we get to see a lot of the scenes where there's basically a whole group of Grammaton cleric cadets, and they're using the different moves of Tai Chi, but with gun movements, you know, like this. Or whatever it is, I don't know. But Kurt Wimmer's idea is sound. It actually, for a film, I think it's a great idea. Particularly, it's sort of playing on the ideas that we've seen in things like, of course, the great movies like, obviously, The Matrix, John Woo's stuff. I mean, you can remember even in films like Face Off, they're using a lot of those great ideas of the two guns, all that sort of stuff, especially Nicolas Cage. I mean, Nicolas Cage just loved all that stuff, didn't he? Apart from acting like John Travolta in that film, which he did well. You've got to give him credit. And I do believe, I've heard a whisper that we're getting a sequel to Face Off. I'd actually like a sequel to Con Air. I want to see that mullet on Nick Cage's head again. Flowing locks, man. So, I mean, that's just something they can obviously look towards, and hopefully we see something along those lines down the track. So anyway, but getting back to, so these clerics are basically tasked with finding people that have basically a sense offense. So if they are sensing anything, they will be taken out and, of course, executed. And, of course, he's partnered with Sean Bean at the start of the film, and they're trying to find a resistance that is building, and it's building rather fast. And they storm a building, kill all the inhabitants. In that inhabitants, they see inside the house the Mona Lisa. And this is a pivotal scene in the film at the start, really sets the tone where you get to see no expression on the faces of Christian Bale. Sean Bean kind of start to see a bit of a twinkling to see his Gravedon cleric by the name Partridge also go through the similar ideals that his emotions are starting to simmer on the surface. Part of the things, too, is that he picks up a book by Yeats, poetry, and on their way back from this event, he slips in his pocket and Preston pulls him up and he says, "Why don't you just give it to the sensory team to destroy?" And, of course, he said, "Oh, you know, sometimes they miss things. I'm going to take it and make sure it's done right." Of course, straight away he knew there was something going on with, of course, Sean Bean's character. So Preston's basically somebody that can sense when that's going to happen and when, you know, somebody's tempted to go that way. And, of course, he catches Partridge reading Yeats and part of one of those things. And it's a theme of the film is that be careful, because I'm laying the seeds of my dreams. And, of course, the branches, he's talking about his tree, those are basically sensing his dreams are going to awaken what, of course, Christian Bale's character Preston is going to face later on. So with this, of course, he is told to execute Partridge, and he does. But in doing so, it also awakens Preston. So it's kind of like, I guess, the out of his hero's journey, that's the first gate he's got to cross. Unfortunately, it is a death. Past that, of course, we meet that he's got a daughter and a son. And the son is very testy at home. He's really pushing for, have you had your dose, your interval? Make sure that, of course, you're not sensing. And this is when he starts to question things a little bit. Then he meets, of course, Mary O'Brien, played by Emily Watson, who's a real tease in this in terms of trying to see whether she can turn one of the Graviton clerics, of course, over to their side, to the resistance. Emily does a fantastic job in the role, and, you know, she knows she's going to die. She knows that she's once captured, she will be tortured and put to death. But at the same time, with that knowledge and that peace that she can have a say. In that, we also meet, of course, Preston's new partner, Brant, played by Taye Diggs. And Taye has a field day in this role. He is fantastic in it. I mean, Taye Diggs has always been a great actor, but in this one, he's going to town because he is sensing straight away. You know, because he's got greed, he's got that want to, you know, be as powerful as Preston in terms of, you know, being able to be as cold and as calculating. But I think he does a great job of it. The only thing I would say is that I think that Preston kind of knows what's going on straight away. And I think that's key to this whole thing is that he knows that Tay's up to no good. In terms of, you know, Tay in this is, you know, playing each scene as 100 mile an hour and not looking at what, of course, Preston's doing. Preston, of course, is laying him up for each of the things that will happen to him as they happen. So he's ambushed at every corner. There's some great scenes. One of the best scenes in particular with Taye Diggs and, of course, Christian Bale's acting is the scene they have in that kind of Graviton cleric dojo. It's a kendo dojo. And, of course, we get to see a bit of a, as a swordsman would say, and even Lee Fillings, and our good friend from Blood of Kings will say, the reverse grip shinai that, of course, Christian Bale's character has, and he's swipping it around. You know, that may look cool on film, but it's very basic, rudimentary, and impractical. But still looks good, I guess. And, of course, they have this battle back and forwards with the swords. And it's kind of an eye-opener, too, the way that we get to start to see Brant basically start to get that coldness. And we're starting to see an awakening in Preston. I think half of it's to do, of course, with starting to see that there's life outside of Libria. We get to see a little bit later where they break into another part of the resistance and there's this stash of everything from to basic light and everything like that. And there's actually the sensing when he rubs his hand across the wall and there's light shining through a hole. That beautiful scene where basically the light just hits it, he puts his eye down, looks through, and, of course, he is then getting a chance to go inside, and he finds an old record player. And, of course, in that record player is, I do believe it was Beethoven, if I remember right. a little hazy on that one, folks, but, you know, it is what it is. But it's that, you know, the music and that scene, you know, and you get start to see, again, great acting for Christian Bale, because we get to see the whole range of human emotion in this film. And he starts to bring that in this bit too, which is great. So Christian's starting to obviously head towards working for the resistance in this. And this is where we start to see some other actors that really need to be given their cred. One of those, of course, is Sean Pertwee, who plays Father. Now, this is an independent leader of the Libya system. And, of course, he's basically seen in no more than just video form. You see him on a big billboard and he's saying, you know, welcome, Librians. You know, this is what we're going to do. You know, we are all together in this. Let's go, go, go. Very much like the German propaganda films, of course, of World War II. But, of course, this is John Pertwee's son. That's right, Doctor Who's son. Sean Pertwee, who's just fantastic. Sean, of course, we're big fans of here at the podcast. Of course, for Dog Soldiers he was in. He was also in, of course, Soldier with Kurt Russell. A little bit of a tie there. He's fantastic. And, of course, Event Horizon, folks, one of my all-time favourite sci-fi horror films. Also, there's a character by the name of Jurgen in this. And Jurgen, of course, is played by William Fichtner. And William comes in this in the latter third of the film, where we get to see him basically lay down the lore of what is happening with the resistance, and of course the Grammaton, the Tetragrammaton Council. There you go. At the head of that is of course DuPont, played by of course Angus McFadden, Robert the Bruce from Braveheart, folks. Angus McFadden, always great, fantastic actor. Certainly is somebody that I've always kept an eye on since, because I thought he did such a good job in Braveheart as the conflicted king of Scotland. And, of course, one that Robert the Bruce was in that film was somebody you knew was going to have to turn in the end and obviously not be working for the nobles as much as put out. Of course, Angus did a fantastic job in that, and it certainly is interesting. Years ago, it was only a few years ago, 2019 was it, when we got a sequel of sorts to Braveheart. It's just called Robert the Bruce, if I remember right. Came out about the same time as a certain Captain Kirk played Robert the Bruce as well. William Fichtner, of course, always great, and he does a fantastic job in this. There is an Australian in this, folks, too, and that is, of course, Dominic Purcell, and you probably know him from Prison Break and many other films, and of course, probably lesser known, Blade 3, Blade Trinity, which I actually thought he was one of the better elements of. You know, he's Dominic, quite a good actor. So, with that, we have some great action sequences, particularly because of the gun cutter. So, let's have a quick chat about that. Gun cutter is treated the same as Kabuto, Kung Fu weapons, such like Shaolin. Ninjutsu, the same principle that the gun is a part of you. All right. So the whole idea is that they've got a form that we see at the start of the film where DuPont is walking through the dojos, if you like, or the outside council areas, and we see about six or seven different cleric cadets going through the paces of doing the gun cutter moves, the various over-the-top sort of moves, and they look fantastic. It looks good. And then we get a full actual work down, and it's all on screen. It actually shows you how gun cutters are meant to work. And for a movie, it's sound. It actually seems to work. There's some great scenes at the start of the film where we get to see Christian Bale knock down a door, slide in like he's on a surfboard, stand up, and then literally do all these crazy shots like this, shots like this, shots behind, and it looks great. And, of course, the ending shot is the two gun barrels. So you can see on screen. It's kind of like this, and you see that where my fingers are is basically heated up barrels of the Beretta pistols that he has. It's a great, low-budget way to make a shot look good too, a heated element after it's been firing blanks. That's one of the key scenes. I mean, of course, we see some great ones later on where we start to see, of course, the awakening of Preston. He's fighting his own police force. There's a scene where he's literally got about eight or nine guys around him, all with trench coats and helmets. And from there, he literally goes to town, with, of course, first of all, with the guns. And then when he's finished with the guns, then he pulls out the magazines, and the magazines have these studded blades in them that pop out. And then, of course, he goes to town, uses them upside down like hammers. Fantastic scene in the film. And then, of course, we've got scenes where he's actually doing backflips onto the top of a car. And, of course, we get those zoomed-in shots with the pistols. Some really good camera work in this, considering the budget. And from there, we get to see, obviously, to the great ending. Now, the ending to this film is what really makes it better than most. Now, for the first part of it is him, Christian Bale's character, Preston, sitting down at a table, picks up the phone, just like Morpheus. And it's a nod to The Matrix. Pretty obvious it's a nod to The Matrix, which I thought was really tongue-in-cheek, but also respectable. You know, it is one of the influences of this film, as is for Fahrenheit 451, as well as 1984, many other films. You know, it really has those influences. But once he's done that, he gets up, and, of course, he's wearing the same outfit that Bruce Lee wore at the start of Fist of Fury. Of course, when his master has died, he's turned up from being away and, of course, and comes in and he's wearing that beautiful white suit at the funeral. Now, with that, he is basically going into a room when he finds out that the guy behind everything, DuPont, is actually Father, and he's been using the video screen as a puppet to say that Father has been alive this whole time, but no, it's really just me. It's DuPont. He died ages ago. And so from there, we got this great scene where there's a ring of guards right up to DuPont's office, and he literally goes to town with a HK-36 assault rifle in full gun cutter mode, and has to be seen to believe. It's shot extremely well. There's also the scene where he throws empty full magazines, I should say, down to the end of that same area. And then once he's out of ammo with the rifle, then hits the pistols onto those magazines and then unloads. And it's the crisscross unloading. It looks so good for the film itself. From there, then he has a sword fight on top of this with Taye Diggs' character. And it's quick. Very quick. It's literally a couple of slices, and it's done very samurai style. And, of course, DuPont is then, of course, the final hurdle for him. And it's a great proper gun cutter battle. So we're getting lots of grappling of the guns crisscrossing like this and being knocked out of the way. It is done in such a way that it looks like Kali or Eskrima. If you're knowledgeable in Filipino martial arts systems, you'll know that there's a lot of close quarter. So there's a lot of the elbows crossing over very closely. You're literally that close that your elbows are being slammed in. And, of course, the guns aren't having a chance. In this case, it's usually knives or sticks or even just unarmed with Kali. And in that case, same case here, but it's with firearms, and it is fantastic. So the film is very quite fast film when it comes to those things. But I tell you what, folks, it's worth your time because it's a 5 out of 5 here on the Hallenbach scale. All right, so folks, go and check this film out. Get it. You can find it on Amazon Prime, I do believe. You can also see it on, I think it's SBS had it, the SBS app here in Australia, so you can watch it on that. But most of all, folks, try and get your own version of it, because I tell you what, it is worth you getting. I mean, it's just one of those films, folks, isn't it? All right, this has been episode number 178, Equilibrium, looking at the classic Christian Bale film directed by Kurt Wimmer and the epic gun cutter fight scenes, folks. Gun cutter. It is awesome. We'll be back with a lot more soon here on the show, of course, and on the network of Lethal Mullet. I'm your host, and I'm over on the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you next time here.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. Endzone, a look at the NFL, American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. But also the Hair Metal Podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well, hosted by Kevin the Raider No Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing, The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go on to the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has many a thing to say about deep thought. And deep thought itself has many a thing to say about the guide, who are going to give you a guide through the maelstrom and enormity of the guide itself. Hosted by two unexpected travelers, the Lethal Mullet, all the way from Quinlan's Cantina in the Milky Way, and of course Dan the Man from Birmingham, all on the other side of the water, they have hitched a ride and come to Ursa Minor. Tell you all about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which you can find whenever you find good podcasts.
That's right, folks. Check out the brand new show, Deep Thought Life, Douglas Adams and Everything, monthly on, of course, the Lethal Mullet Network at lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on the socials at The Lethal Mullet. You can also check it out on YouTube very soon on the Spacebook Network, hosted by the one and the only co-host here, Dan the Man from Birmingham, Dan Hadley. All here. And don't panic, we'll be back.